Very good. Well, Dios le bendiga, hermanos. Or God bless you, brothers. Very good. We're going to start. We're going to sing a song first. My family, I'll have my family come forward. And it's a song we sing down there. We kind of mixed it. It's an English song also. So this song's actually a mixture of Spanish and English. Those that don't know, yes, I am Lorne Yoder. I know most of you guys from back in 95, I think we moved in the area here a couple years, and we moved to North Carolina. We're actually from the United Covenant Mennonite Church, where Bob Webb's pastor. I'm Lorne, it's my wife Donna, and then Janessa, Caleb, Kedrick, and Kyle. And Caleb just about passed me in height now, but last night he was actually measuring. He's like, I think I still got him by a little bit. But yeah, it's a blessing to be here this morning. It really is. And the name of the song is You Are My All in All. It's named in English. But we also sing it in Spanish down there at our church. And so we're going to mix the Spanish and English together this morning.
You are my
He is worthy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Right now, we're going to have some pictures to show, and we'll see how this all works out. We changed it over to PowerPoint this morning and see if the pictures come through. I'll try to explain it a little bit. We'll go through it pretty quick, what this represents. Okay, as we see here, is the United States and Mexico, a map. Let's see if I can find my... Here's a little pointer. There's actually one here, too.
Might not work.
We'll try this one. There we go. All righty. Here you have the United States. Where we live is in this area right in here. Los Mochis is our big city, about 2 hours from where we live. We live... So we come down through Tucson and come down the border, usually, along the side here, along the Silla Cortez. And there's Los Mochis, and we're in about 2 hours. See how this... Maybe I didn't. There we go. See how this works. There we go. All right, now here we are in Sinaloa. We're in the state of Sinaloa. And right there's Los Mochis again. And as you go up through here, you'll see... We come up to Choice. We're about the end of the road up against the mountains. Here we are in Nogales, actually passing from Nogales. The border crossing we usually take is Nogales. It's right below Tucson, Arizona, about 2 hours from Tucson. And here we are at the border in Nogales. See the Mexican flag and the United States flag. Now we're actually coming into our town here, and this says, Welcome to Choice. And here you can see we have a dry season and a rainy season. See the difference there? And it's a land of tortillas, burritos, cowboy hats, police trucks, and cute children. Here's uptown. Here's the Catholic Church located in Choice. Do you see the mountains right behind it there? Located. Here's the plaza. It's very common to have plazas in the villages. They're like a center square where people get together and talk. Here's the clock tower. Something kind of special in our town. We have a clock tower. You can actually walk up and look around the area, kind of in a basin there with mountains a lot of the way around us. Now we're at the children's home. There's two ministries there, the children's home and the church plant, as Alvin alluded to. The Len Miller family, this is... Show them first. This is Len Miller family. They're in charge of the children's home. And this is a house that was just built for them at the children's home. I think the last year it was completed, or beginning of this year it was completed. And so they moved into there. And this is their family, Len Miller, as I said. Now this is the children's home, the original children's home. It had two stories. And before, Len's family used to live upstairs. And they the young ladies and their girls to take care of, and some of the young boys lived downstairs. Now, as Len's moved to the back into the other house, the young ladies, caretakers, they split the floors. They have more space now to live. Here's the one floor, and you can see. Let me get my paper so I don't mess up here, so I can give everybody's name correctly where they live. This is the one floor. You can see the different children that live with them. As far as the caretaker, this is Linda Lapp, and she's from Montana, I think, or North Dakota. Amberly Fisher, she's from Pennsylvania. And then Ayana Otto's from Indiana. This is the other floor. And here we have Lisa Yoder, and she's from Virginia. And Lisa Tello, and she's actually from Monterrey, Mexico. She also is from England. One of her parents is from the United States, and one's from Mexico, so she actually knows both languages very well and understands the culture in Mexico also. Then we have the boys' dorm up top, which is about 100 yards up the grade, behind the children's home, up the road further. And there's two apartments, one in the front. Whoops. One in the front and one in the back. It's like they're identical, but it's like reverse is basically what it is. And we have two caretakers there right now. There might be a third one there right now, too. That's true. Might have moved in. But yeah, this is Brian Esch from Pennsylvania and his boys. And John Byler from Virginia. And this is a schoolroom that was just built last year, or the same time, right before the children's the home for Len was built. This is a schoolroom that they added to before the children's home took care of their own schooling in their more in their dorms. Now the children come down here, and it's actually they have a one of the teachers on the left here. She's Elaine Friesen. She's from Mexico, and this is the other teacher, Mario. And he's actually from a village close there, which is actually a Christian, one of the brothers in the church. This is Mario here in the green. And he's, this year, last year, the government has a program set up where young young people from above, I think that they finished the junior high, I think, but then they can go in and they can actually teach in villages that don't have schools. It's a program from the government. So that way, the children can actually get a basic education. In some of these villages up in the mountains where there's no school building, they'll send some of these young people up in there, and they'll get paid. Plus, they get the opportunity for scholarships if they want to go into college. And so, Mario did that last year in another village, and then this year they set it up where the children's home could also have that program. And so, Mario transferred into this. Into this school to teach here at this school. He's actually a brother in the church, so that worked out really well. Now here's the church plant team, and my family, and then Geneva, her job was last year. She was actually just helping Donna, basically, in the house, because what happens is, in our home, we have a lot of visitors that come through. We live right in the main road there, and people would come in at all hours, and Donna was having a hard time teaching the boys, plus this meals and everything else that needs to be done. And so they Geneva offered to come, and she lightened Donna's load where Donna children are getting better teaching, getting better schooling this year because of that. And then Geneva helped with a meal a lot of times, a midday meal. And then Tim Wright, he's from Virginia. He helps me, he's a single fella, helps me in the church plant. And he'll be running around for me, pick people up, and whatever else needs to be done. Doing some children's classes also. This is Geneva getting ready for making a meal. Now, here's some of the our brothers from the church there. I'll just go through them quick. And this is Albino and Susie. They have a little restaurant there in town, Mater Martin, Materena. And actually, this is Ben, Ben Colbins from Ohio. He's might be the children's home now. But why he's here in this order is because Martin and Reina, Mano Martina, Mano Reina. When I say Armando, that means brother, and that's very common to use that term. Martin and Reina, they would also help. If the singles come down, they don't know Spanish, they'll usually move into their house for a month and help with the culture and also language. They have like a, how would you say it? I can't think of the word you want to use now. But anyway, like total include. Immersion, thank you. I can't use that. Couldn't come to that. Word wasn't coming to me. Immersion, and they'd be there about a month. And then from there, they leave to go to the children's home or church plant or whatever they're involved with. So Ben, I think he's actually in the children's home now, I believe. Is that correct, Donna? Would you know? I think he's ready. This is Juanito, or Johnny, your youngest boy, with him. Here's Martin, also planted some crops this year. Praise the Lord, it's a good year. This is sesame seed. This is the mother, brothers, and sisters in the church. She would be a Christian, and he wouldn't yet here. This is hermano Julian and Francisca. They're actually one of the pastors there now, one that's commissioned. This is a... interesting story. This fellow here is in a wheelchair, but has a disease that he's basically stiff. And you imagine trying to sit in a chair and you have no support. Basically, he has the back is supported up top and the bottom. He's like this. But you don't see him complain much. And he's a blessing. He became a Christian, and his sister's actually a Christian too on the other side. The mom still hasn't. And another brother. He has a couple other brothers. But he has become a Christian. And he just started, I didn't realize he could, he just started making hammocks with his hands. So anyway, we have a lot to be thankful for. It's another fellow, from another brother from the one village. Here we are on Sunday morning. We have in Choice, we still don't have a church building. We meet behind our house. And here we are preparing for the church service on Sunday morning. Setting up. Here we are set up. We have a little roof back there behind our house. Here, Tim's taking some people home, actually, here. And here's the church service in front of our and back of our house. And then this in San Pedro, we do have a building. And this is a village about 25 minutes away, 20, 25 minutes away. We have church and Choice in the morning, and then the afternoon in this village, San Pedro. And we pick people along the way, and that's where we have this service. It's a blessing. We have to have a building there now. Before we were still remodeling, we meet outside sometimes, outside the building. Here's the church building on the side here. Or I know it's already been hot. We pulled out too. We had an air conditioner inside actually. We started just like hot. And it was cooler outside, so we pulled everything out. Because what happens, the buildings there are basically, it's concrete. And so when it warms up, it stays warm. When it gets cold, it stays cold. But this is how. Here's Baldo reading the children's story in the church there. There you see the air conditioning behind it. And here's what the church building looked like. It was a house in San Pedro where we bought. That's what it looked like first. It was growing up. It's a nice level lot. So that's a blessing. Here we are. We cleaned it up. And here we're putting an addition on. First of all, we took some, remodeled this side and took the one wall out and finished it up like you saw back here. There's the inside of that building. And here we are now. We're putting basically doubling the size. We're putting that roof on here. Hermano Julian is a mason contractor, so he's basically in charge of it. And we help him. Here you can sort of see it. I was going to get it in the light, but I waited too long. It was our last Sunday there, I think. And the time we got out of church, it was dark. But you can sort of see what it looks like. There's the addition. And we come in right here is where the door is to come in. We still haven't, I don't think it's completed yet. The wall wasn't torn out in between to start meeting all together yet. So we're still meeting in the smaller room. They were. Here are just some of the baptisms that we would have had through the years here. One river. This is the one where the fellow was talked about with sickness, paralyzed. Here we are having a baptism for him. I had different ones helping me. You can see him down behind here. That takes a lot of nerve if you think about allowing some, but it was a good day. Now here, on Tuesdays a lot of times we go to a village called Guadalupe, where Hermano Martin or Martin and Reina are from. And a lot of times, Hermano Reina likes to make tortillas, make supper for us. A lot of times it's like a bean soup and tortillas, maybe some cheese and salsa, and it's really good. But they like to feed us when we have a study. Here's a study. We have a little roof out underneath. We have a study underneath a lot of times. As it's cold, we'll try to meet inside. And this is another village on Wednesday night, so we go to Tepawahe. And there's one believer there that we meet at his house. And a lot of times they need water. We bring water for them different times because they don't have much water. They have trouble getting water in their village where they live. Some of the pipes are half busted there. And so, yeah. They have a children's class there also, first, and then like the study with adults and children. Here we are going home, all piled in. Now, this would be in another village called Laguna, which is behind Tepawahe, where this other one was from. Tepawahe is about 15 minutes from Choice. And Guadalupe, the other one, is 15 minutes, but a little different direction. But this is behind Tepawahe, which is probably 20 minutes from Choice, where we live. There's a children's class there. Then Albino and Susie, usually they lead an adult class while this is going on, is what they've... What happened, we had the adult class there first, and the children were kind of just messing around, so they decided we have a children's class to help the situation. Now this is then on Thursdays, we also have a study in another village, San Pedro, where the church is. We don't have a picture of that, but we usually have Bible study there on Thursdays then. in San Pedro. And usually, instead of meeting at a church, we meet at one of the brother's house. On Saturday morning, we have children's class and choice. This is behind our house again. And this is at the same time, we have a children's class in Guadalupe on Saturday mornings also. There's a Monterena, and here's Tim leading out there. And also, they have once a month, you try to have a girls', reunion for young ladies or teen ladies, teen girls, and also one for guys. This last year, usually also, we've been trying, it's kind of hit and miss right now, but trying to have a men's meeting every month and a ladies' meeting every month. But this last year, we had in June, Alan Roth and Bob Miller came down, and it was a real blessing. We had a 3-day, 2-night, my English is gone, I forgot my English. Like a seminar, yes. And we did it in San Pedro at that building in San Pedro. We would have stayed overnight there and then had the meetings during the day. That was a real blessing. It was I tell people, I don't know for sure, but I would say, it's come to my mind, advanced the work 2 years about, I would think, just for this meeting with the guys in the church. Just having Alan and Bob there teaching and encouraging the brothers. And they left this retreat energized for the Lord. So that was a blessing. And here we are inside the building there for the retreat. Here we are. We ate there. We also cooked. Actually, one of the ladies from the church bring food in for us. But here we are washing dishes. You can see here Julian and Romaldo are washing dishes out of a 5-gallon bucket there, cleaning up. Whoa, go back here. And here we are after just a picture of the reunion. Now here we actually, Elvin alluded to it, this last August, I should say, for this is actually in the back of the children's home. In the back of the children's home is a big roof there where they eat underneath. And when the Church in Choice and the Church of San Pedro, when we get together, a lot of times we'll meet here for services. They have a bigger space, and it works well. The children have a lot of place to play afterwards too, because the children's home is fenced in there. This would have been the commissioning service when Julian and Albino were commissioned to help me at work of pastor. So Rod Swartz, you can't really see him very well, but he came down. He used to be down there. He's down there about two and a half, three years. And he came down to help with the commissioning. He spoke there. And also, my mind just went blank. I'm sorry. Lyndon Rohr, thank you. That's terrible. Lyndon Rohr also came down. They're from Calvary Church in Virginia. And he's been down a couple times to help at the children's home when Len's are on furlough. And he, actually the one couple, we'll go through here, the one couple here, Albino and Susie, Lyndon's in Calvary, they have a Hispanic outreach there in Virginia. And Lyndon Rohr's in charge of it. And Albino and Susie, they became Christians in the States. And they were here for a while. They didn't feel right living here as far as being illegal. So they decided to go back. And also their father was back there and things. But anyway, when they went back, Lyndon Rohr's, because they knew where we live, they talked about it, and they decided to come to our area. And so about a year and a half ago or so, they moved in. And actually, they were one of the couples that were commissioned to be helping the work of pastor. He would actually be from, his family would be down south of Mexico further, is where his family would be from, where he would have grew up. They would be the commissioned for choice, and Julian and Francisca, or Julian's commissioned for the work in San Pedro. This is the commissioning service. And afterwards, we had a meal. A lot of times, joint service, we'll have a meal also afterwards, and this is what we're doing. We're just eating. And here's the couples again. You can see them, the two couples. So that's something you can pray for. Especially this time here, just as they're getting their feet wet further, And this time that it'd go well for them, and that they'd be something that they would, how would you say, it'd be a blessing to them, wouldn't be a burden. And you can play specifically for Mano Julian, because I know his son, seems like different times, things just happen to his family. Stuff just, like, seems like he's in a roll, and all of a sudden something hits it. And right now his one son was working construction, and he was at a bridge, and something fell and hit, and he saw it coming. He got out of the way a little bit, hit him in his back here. And it sounded like yesterday might have took him to Los Mochis to see what's actually wrong. That's another thing, I just felt heavy for Julian. It's like stuff just piles up sometimes for him. He tries to take care of his family. So if you can pray specifically for his son's name's Jesus. But just God would heal his back or whatever happened there. Because Julian, he has a caring heart. And when something happens in his family, he feels responsible. And his son is like 20, probably mid-20s. But yeah. And also just for both of them, Albino and Julian, as they lead the churches there at this time. Now, this is some random pictures. We have a sign in front of our house that we like to change every once in a while. It's a, we're on a main road. Right here is the main road. Our house is behind here. We're on a main road, and a lot of people come by. But this is a sign, a Christian sign we put up. Try to rotate every once in a while, or buy new ones to challenge people in their spiritual, in their faith. Some other. Soccer, game of Mexico. Huh? So very good. That's the end of this slide. Any questions? Quickly. That's fine. Don't need it. No, there's no need for questions. Just if someone had one, you can always ask us later if there is something you have concern. I should say there is a few things as far as some of the needs of what, as far as people or personnel needs, it seems like it's been harder to get young fellas to come and help with in the children's home. That's been kind of hard for Bob Kaufman is in charge of that, and he's trying to find guys that are willing to take 2 years of their life to work. And it is different because you have a language barrier plus a culture language and culture difference, and you're working with boys, and some are pretty streetwise. Some are better, but I was just talking to the board the other day, and some I think would be a blessing there too. Would help is the one village, Tepawahe. I think it'd be a blessing if we could have another couple that would move into that village. They were already working there, but having someone stationed in that village, I think, would really. There's one believer there now, an older fella, but it seems like that would be a good place. It's halfway about between Choice and San Pedro, and it's not very far off the main road. But so if somebody has an interest in that, that would be a possibility if someone has an interest in church plant and Hispanic culture. Okay, this morning, I'd like to share also, maybe everybody's ready to go home, but I'd like to share some in the book of John. In the book of John this morning. And I really did enjoy your praise time this morning. There's something about it that just, I know sometimes when we're down there, my mind's, and the servers, I'm thinking about what the next things need to be happening, and sometimes you lose the blessing of just being able to relax and focus on the Lord. And so anyway, that was a blessing this morning, just having not a whole lot of responsibility, trying to organize everything, but just could worship our Creator. Okay, this morning I'd like to speak some in John chapter 6. And before we go into it, I'd like to have a word of prayer. If you like to stand and just ask God to guide our thoughts this morning. Father God, we're so grateful this morning for the privilege of being here and my brothers and sisters here at Shiloh. I pray you just guide this church and bless this church And this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just come and fill us. And that you would guide my thoughts, Father, and guide my tongue and my speech, that it be truthful and uplifting. And that if we leave this service, challenged to serve you, because you are worthy, Father. And that, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that Satan would be bound, and that only Christ could reign here this morning. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we go into John chapter 6, I want to give a little background. What we're looking at here is, as you see in the first part of the John chapter 6, is with Jesus was feeding the 5,000. And as you can imagine, when someone gets free food, what happens? People come. And that was what's happening here. People were coming. And they, can you imagine, you know, the miracles that were taking place and stuff and the things that were going on? Jesus started attracting a crowd, a big crowd. And as it says in John chapter 6, verse 22 to 24, it says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had ate bread, and after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. So it was like a, probably like a party in some ways. It was like a major attraction in this time. And people, and it was a blessing. Can you imagine being in the presence of Christ and his miracles and his teachings? And on top of that, free food. And the people were surrounding him. But then Jesus started getting a little tough. Or instead of verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So Jesus, you know, if we would be in this situation, what would we have done? We'd say, wonderful, look at all these people. And we wouldn't want to stir the boat, or wouldn't want to tip, or how would you say that? We want to capsize, we wouldn't want to stir the waters up. We want to keep things calm. These people are coming, the people are following. The people are listening. But Jesus didn't just, he approached it. No, you're following me just because of the loaves. Because of the food. And so so Jesus started teaching pretty strongly. And, do you have a drink of water? I feel like my mouth feels dry. Someone would. Thank you. So we see so Jesus started teaching. And he's, explaining things and getting a little more precise in some things that are harder. Like we'll read in verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. And they're starting to probably think, what's going on here? And then he goes back in and he says, I am the living bread, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life for the world. And they're starting to think, what's this guy talking about? His flesh is bread. And he keeps going verse 53 it says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And the people was like going, what's going on here? They were having trouble with this. You know, before it was a party. You know, they were miracles and teachings and food. And all of a sudden Jesus started getting a little more concrete in his discussions and trying to, and not just making it real smooth. You know, we like to make things, don't want to rile things up too much. It's going good. But Jesus wasn't like that. He wanted people to understand who he was. And thank you very much. And so we see that in verse 60. Verse 60 says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And they were trying to analyze this. What's going on here? And so they talked about it. And how did they respond? In verse 66 it says, "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more." Why? What's it say? It was a hard saying. It was hard. But then Peter responded and said, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" So we have two choices here this morning, as we can see. I'm here to tell you, the Christian life is not always easy. As they said, it's a hard saying. And I'll put it more to our life. Sometimes it's a hard life. As we know, it's not always, you know, we like to buy into the American dream, and that's wonderful. It's in its place. I'm thankful for the opportunities we have here in America. But there's other people that are suffering. It's a hard life. You know, I don't know what these next 10, 15, 30 years will be in America. I don't know. Only God knows. But we do know that Christ does not just say everything's a bed of roses. He did say, "Come unto me, all you are weary, and I will give you rest." But he also talked about the idea that, you know, he has no place to lay his head. There's, you know, and he, you know, as I was persecuted, you will also be persecuted. That's part where we are. That's who we are. And if you're like me, you like to choose the easy road. I like the easy road. But the easy road don't always get us there. You know, I think about some things that are hard in life as I was thinking about this thing and just this natural things, you know. You know, I remember when worked more in construction, the things I thought was one of the hardest jobs in construction is re-roofing. I don't know whoever did re-roofing here. That's a hard job, especially if it's a steep roof. When you're trying to get these shingles off and your back's hurt and your feet hurt and your hands hurt, but it needs to be done. You know, another thing is if you're exercise. I know for me, if it's, you know, I'm going to exercise. I might have about a week or two and then it's done. Why? It's hard. I give up. It's tiring. Or some of these, like the test you had the other day, it was a hard test, sounds like. Things are hard. And so I started thinking through now our spiritual life. What things are hard that God asks us to give up? You know, are we going to be like the person, "That's hard, I'm just going to walk the other way"? Or is that going to, like the disciples, "No, they said, no, you are the Christ. You have the words of eternal life." Which way are we going to go when the times get tough? When those hard times come? And some of the thing I was thinking about as far as a hard in the Christian life is our personal reputation. We like a good reputation, don't we? I do. We like to be well thought of in the community. That's a good thing. We don't do things just for the nuts of it. Do people think, "That guy's, yeah." But there's sometimes we need to say, it doesn't matter what they think. This is the truth. It doesn't matter even what my brothers and sisters think. God wants this for me. This is the way. This is what I understand Scripture to say. And be willing to be a little different sometimes. But they're hard. Those are hard things. I know something that, you know, as far as evangelism, that's hard sometimes is talking to people. To get out of my comfort zone and say, "I'll say something." And so we kind of, you know, the time comes and what happens? We want to say something, and all of a sudden the time's passed. The conversation led to the opening that we could have spoke to them truth. And all of a sudden we missed it. And we're on the other side. Now it's hard to get back into that conversation. Or we're there and, you know, maybe we're at a job site and some of the workers are there and we're talking, but I don't know, maybe they'll think I'm kind of crazy if I say much. What did Paul say in Romans? Let's look. Romans chapter, I just preached about it before we came back. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So what's the first part of that verse say? I am ashamed? No, it says, I am not ashamed. Are we in the same place this morning? Can we say, I am not ashamed? It is the power of God to salvation. It's not just whether, you know, someone goes to McDonald's or Burger King or decides to have pizza for lunch. This is salvation. This is eternity. And that's why we have no need to be ashamed. It is the power of God to salvation. And as I thought through that, you know, why are we scared sometimes to say anything? What's our problem? First, is it something that's, you know, is it something that's not, it's there but not really? You know, I believe it but not really? Or what's the problem? I think sometimes in my life, I'll give you a little hint, before we moved to Mexico, I desired to evangelize, and we tried. You know, talking to be invited people in our home and invited to church. And I got to Mexico and had language training for a year and moved up to Choice, where we are now. It's like, okay, now what do I do? Where do I start? And we had some training in New York first, had some. I think I called Alan Roth, I think I called Gary Troyer and asked them, where do you start? Or just ask them what some of their ideas. So I got some tracks in Spanish and this morning, I want to encourage Ruth and Manuel, your church here. There's a study I use, and I use, and I use. And guess who wrote it? Gary did. It's in English, but he also wrote it in Spanish. And I've used that, and I've used that, and I've used that. And it works. But I think that's our problem. I know it was for me. We're not trained. We're not trained to evangelize. We're trained to help people physically. We're trained maybe to say a few things here. We're trained to invite them to church. But how do you actually lay out salvation in an understandable manner? That makes sense according to the Bible. This study does it. And there's a book called Operation World. It's actually this is Genesis here, but basically what it is, it's a book that gives the spiritual condition of different countries across the world. We had an older one. It looked like maybe it was like 90 or 93 when it was written. I think YWAM might put it out. This is the 2010 version. But I want to give you some statistics, some sobering statistics concerning evangelism. I'm going to use this whiteboard down here. The country we're going to look at today is called Paraguay. Okay. Paraguay is a place the Operation World book that I had in 93, I think it was, 1993. This country, can you imagine? But it had Mennonites, they said, had around 20,000 members. Mennonite groups. 20,000 members. So what we're going to do, we're going to, this morning, we'll put, for every 5,000, we'll put a little person here. Okay? So every little person represents 5,000 people. Okay? Now, they also had the Mormons there in the Paraguay. You know what they had? They had around 5,830 is what it said, members. And so that'll represent one person, we'll say. Okay, that was in, say, open 1993. That's what it looks like, 1990, 1993. But in 2010, it came out again, this book. And the Mennonites there, the Mennonite groups, they said, what did they say they had? It's basically, 1993 actually said 20,000. We'll make it a little more exact what it said. 575. But in 2010, now they rounded it off or what? They said that Mennonites had 20,000. Okay. So it's still, we're at four. Four people, because each one represents 5,000. But the Mormons, you know what they're where they're at? Let's look. It said in 2010, they had 34,921, which gives them about seven. This is about close to 20 years, 15, 20 years. What do we see? What's wrong with that picture? Something's not working. The Mormons, they don't even have the Holy... God only knows. I would say they don't have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. But why are we... And I hope the United States is better in this, but I have a feeling it's probably close to the same. I don't know. Hopefully we're raising better than this in Paraguay. Only God knows. And probably people that study the statistics. But this is sad. They were ahead here. But 50, 20 years, basically the same. The Mormons, they've grown like seven times. That's not right. Can we capture this morning? Something's wrong. I think Alan Roth, it was probably 15, 20 years, I read a 15, 20 years ago, I read an article he wrote, and he had a quote in there. It's a popular quote, but the idea is, if we keep doing the same thing, why do we expect different results? And that's where we're at. Who would say, what year do you think that the Mennonites started? Or the Anabaptists, we'll say. We use the term Anabaptist. I like the term Anabaptist better, actually. Besides, it sounds like anti-Baptist. I think it was like 1525, something like that. That was probably how many hundreds of years ago? About 500 years ago, close to it. The Mormons, it looked like Jehovah's Witness, I think it's early 1800s maybe. Jehovah's Witness, late 1800s, somewhere in there. That's a sad, that's a sad commentary for us. Something's wrong. So my encouragement to churches, we have the information. Most of us here have grown up in the church. We've been taught from 5 years old up to 80 years old. Somebody's 80 here. Manuel, Nelson, Manuel, are you 80 yet? 83. I bet you probably taught when you start 5 years old or when you start going to Sunday school or who knows or taught in your home. That's a lot of years. We know the information. That's not the problem. We know the stories from the creation to Noah to Abraham to David to Solomon to Daniel, you know, to Jesus and his birth and his teaching and his death and resurrection and how we to live. Today, the early church, you know, the Acts, you know, how the church started, and then than the instructions for us today. We know that. That's not a problem. The problem is we don't know how to explain it. I really believe that. I believe that's one of the main problems. And that's why I'm so thankful. That helped me tremendously, that study that Gary wrote. It can be used here. I have confidence in that. I have confidence that the same study is written in English. It works. But we got to study it. We got to use it. And my advice is on Wednesday evening, get together. Practice. Go through these studies. Practice. And I know what happens for me. I use a study different time. You kind of change stuff to make it work for you. But there's, you know, you can talk to somebody, Joe Smo down the street, and these things come back to you. How to explain it. These verses come back to you. I know before I come, you think of the Romans Road, you think of, well, the steps to peace with God, that Billy Graham, those are good things. But this works because it's an order. It starts out with the basics of how to use the Bible. We think everybody knows how to use the Bible. I know in Mexico, a lot of people don't. They might have one on their shelf. And I have a feeling the same thing here. It might carry to church, but, you know, they might open it once in a while, but how is it Old Testament and New Testament, how it's set up? Goes through the books, you know, the books and the chapters, and then you need to practice finding verses. Then you go in and you show how Christ said one of the main themes is repentance. And what's repentance mean? And you go through it and you say, well, repentance is like God's here and you're walking and you say, God, forgive me. And you turn around and you change directions. It's not just here, God, forgive me, and keep walking. It's a change. And it explains that. And then you go through the whole thing of how we're separated from God. When we're in sin, we're separated. And then the next, it deals also with the new birth. What's the new birth mean? And what's believe mean? And it has stories with it. And then it goes into the blood. You know, why Christ had to die. You know, you say, Christ died for you. Okay, why? But it explains in according to Scripture. It goes to Scripture and shows. And then it goes in the two roads, the wide road, the narrow road. And then in the sixth lesson, you actually have an opportunity to say, are you ready? Do you want to accept the Lord? Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to repent? And it works. Hermano Julián, Hermano Francisco, that's where I started with them, is this study. I got into their home. Started studying. I used it. Sometimes we say, want to study? Now where do you start? You start in Genesis? You start in, you know, in Psalms? You start in the Sermon on the Mount? And, you know, where do you start? This gets a logical, an easy, understandable way to explain salvation and the need for salvation. But that's how I got to their home to start out with. Julian and Francisco was through this study. I got to their home and they permitted me to come and I started just using the study. And then they went through it, and it's probably 2 years later before it became, they would have prayed, but until Julian made the choice to get baptized, that's when it solid his faith. He was, that was it. And it took time. It was like, it was weekly a lot of times. You go to their house and just visit them. And some would say, I don't have time. Maybe not. But I think you have time for one family, one person. They'll say, well, I'm going to evangelize Abbeville. Maybe you can. I hope you can. But find one family that says, this family, this year, our family's going to speak with this family. This year, that's going to be our focus. We're going to pray for this family. We're going to invite this family over. We're going to go camping with this family. For what purpose? To share the gospel. And I realize I've been blessed tremendously. You know, that's my job. And, you know, I have the privilege I can, all the time I want, I can use for that. And it's a different culture, I realize that. But I do believe this will work here. It's just a matter of training. It's a matter of making the time. And it's tough. I remember when you live up, you try to keep your family going, and it's just the work, and right now the work's tight, financial stuff. But sometimes you make choices. Things are hard. Are we going to walk away when it's hard? Or is that going to drive us to Christ and say, no, this is important? I'm willing to give up this evening. I'm going to, instead of going hunting tonight, instead of playing that softball game, or instead of, you know, visiting my family, which is good. These things aren't bad in a sense. But I think you can spend one evening doing this. Because I'll tell you how it works. What I use a lot of times is if I say, okay, if I can talk to them and they allow me to come into their home, I say, for a study, I'll say, what time's it work for you? Maybe 5 o'clock on Wednesday? Okay. 5 o'clock on Wednesday for 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks, I'll come to your house. 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And so I go to their house every week. 5 o'clock on Wednesday. More or less. And then what's that do? You build a relationship as you're doing the lesson. A lot of times you just relate first and talk and then you go into your study. What is it? 2 hours out of our day. 2 hours out of our week. We can do it. But we got to make a choice. Those hard choices that aren't fun. What if they reject us? What if my personal reputation is like, they reject me? They say, well, I don't want that. That's between them and the Lord. Remember, we are not ashamed of the gospel of God. Why? Because the power of God to salvation. There's no other way. It's not just because there's somebody that's a member of a church, and I realize in this area people, you know, they're Christians because they're here. But I wonder actually how many actually have that new birth experience. Only God knows. God knows their heart. We have an opportunity wherever we're at. But in awesome conversation, we look for ways to turn it to spiritual, the spiritual conversations. And there's ways. I think you can do it. You know, say your goal not just, you know, when you're talking to someone, not just say share the whole plan of salvation to this person. But it works best, I think, is look for a way to see if you can. They start asking questions. Hey, you know what? I have a study I use. Would you be interested in that? It explains things. It's simplified. It's organ. It understands. It explains why the basics of salvation, basics of the Bible. And would you be interested in that? And then if you can get, you try to convince them to let you in their house to speak with them. The Jehovah's Witnesses do that all the time. We can do better. We have the Holy Spirit on our side. We can pray for this person while we're speaking. God, help them to allow me to do this for your glory. And get in their home. Once you're in their home, you can build their confidence. It does take time. I'm not saying it. And it's hard. But the Christian life's not always easy. But it's worth it. And it's salvation we're talking about. It's eternity we're talking about. We're not speaking of, like I said before, what you eat for lunch. We've got to be sold on it. We've got to believe it is a salvation. We ought to believe it is true. We got to believe it is important. If we sort of think it's important or sort of think it's all right, or, you know, I know I blew this, but you know, are you going to buy a water or a vacuum cleaner for somebody that says, this sort of works every once in a while? You know, put a little dirt here. Well, it doesn't quite. No, you're not going to buy a vacuum cleaner from. But so this works. It's right. This vacuum cleaner is, look at this. I can put a whole bunch of, and it cleans it up. That's just vacuum cleaners. We're talking eternal life. We're talking peace with God. And I think people want peace with God. I believe there's a whole, you know, we kind of write everything off. But it is, I believe there's people there that want something different. As the world gets more chaotic, they want something that's stable. And they're not going to find it in the economy. Very rarely. And in their home, they're having problems. In their work, they're having problems. In their health, they're having problems. And they want something that means something. Where are they going to go? You know, I won't find it in television very often, or radio. Every once in a while, you might radio Christian radio stations or television. God knows that. Some people can't find the Lord. But God will use us. God wants to use us. All two other things real quickly. Things we have to give up. Personal reputation is first. Personal comfort is another thing. I like to be comfortable. Donna knows that. We have a truck with air conditioning now. That's a blessing. I'll turn that thing on. The third thing, personal desires. Are we willing to give up our personal desires? That's a tough one. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Are we there? I know I used to be more idealistic in my life, thinking, you know, this is when I was probably 20, 25. Got older, I think realism set in. And I was talking to my daughter the other month, and she's that's the same thing about idealism, which is good. And I started thinking, you know, realism is true, but I still like to go back to this idealism. There's things that it works. Think the impossible sometimes. We think it's not possible. It is possible. With God, it is possible. We think that our neighbor's not going to want to hear anything. They might. We got to take time to go and talk and relate with them and with a purpose of sharing the gospel with them. You know, I don't know how many people, when you're young, you have all these dreams. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this for God or whatever. And you get in your life, you get married, you have children, you this, and it starts, all of a sudden you realize your children are 18, 20 years old, and after a while your children left, and it's like, what am I going to do? I had these dreams, and now I'm here. Start where you are and go. Whether it's in Abbeville, whether it's in Anderson, whether it's in Greenville, Greenwood, Due West, we have a job. And it's not just to see how big a house, how to do a car, how big our business. Those things aren't all wrong, but it's taking our time. And that's why we get these results. I believe it is. We're not willing to put the time into it to share. Amy Carmichael had a quote. He said, "We shall have all eternity to celebrate the victories, but we have only a few hours before sunset in which to win them." We shall have all eternity to celebrate the victories, but we have only a few hours before sunset in which to win them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. The hope that we have, the peace we have, and the word we have, the message we have, Father. This message is not just for us. This is the message that you want the world to hear. And this world now is confused. We have different people saying different things, and people are saying, what's right, what's wrong, and what's correct. And God, help us to be faithful in our witness. Help us to make choices that are tough. And not to walk away when the times are tough, but to draw us closer to you. Father, help us. Help us to give up my personal reputation or my comfort or my desires, Father, for you. God, you wanna save this world. It says this. It says you want all men to be saved. You want to rescue all men from eternal condemnation. And you have you did the work that needed to be done, that we might have peace with you. God, help us be willing to share. Help us to learn how to share. God, direct our steps. And I pray for this church, Father. I pray this church would just rise up and spread your word across this area, and that souls be won for you, Father, that they would see Christ in their life, but also in their words. And the brothers and sisters here to be trained, to be servants of yours, trained to be evangelists for you, Father. And that this area could be changed. And from here, South Carolina could be changed. And then the East Coast, the United States, and the world could be changed, Father. Because people have stood up and said, I am willing. It's hard, but I'm willing. I'm willing to be taught. Father, pray your Holy Spirit would just convict us. Your Holy Spirit would help us. Your Holy Spirit would help us retain the information that people want to hear and people need to hear, Father. Salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. We praise you this morning, Father. We praise you for your salvation that you have provided. May your name be praised. I ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.